All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and continue to unpack this Longhorn team after the loss to OU. We, as we always do on Wednesdays, talk to Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7. Check all that great stuff out there. Check out the Longhorn Blitz podcast Tuesday nights at 7 here on the Horn. Jeff, how's it going?
I don't want to get over my skis and get ahead of myself, but if we get an Astros Nationals World Series, can we make sure one of those games in Houston is the Astros wearing the Atari breakout jerseys with the Nationals breaking out the old Expos powder blues?
That would be awesome. God, I would love that.
That would be cool. That would be very, very cool. We'll see if that happens. We'll see. We can ask baseball. I mean, all Manfred can say is no.
Hey, I'm at a point now where I'm cool. I didn't want to see the Cardinals, and I wanted Nationals, Dodgers, Astros, Yankees as my ideal just baseball-watching, really competitive series, and I didn't get that. Now that I got Nats on full rest against mm-hmm. those offenses and different pitching staffs,
let's go.
I'm cool either way.
Ready to roll. All right.
And Jeff didn't feel.
Kevin, you're not one of the Yankees or the Cardinals. That just makes you human.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, right. That just makes you a normal baseball human. That's what that is. Jeff, in terms of these Longhorns, I listen to you guys, as I always do on Tuesdays, the Longhorn Blitz podcast. It was great, as always. Yep. You had a phrase that really got my attention when you said you look back at it, you watch the game over, and you thought it was an arrogant plan for Tom Herman, essentially, an arrogant game plan. Expand a little bit for the people that maybe didn't hear it about what you meant by that.
Yeah, and I thought more so offensively. What it boiled down to for me after rewatching the game is, and I thought this initially watching it, even more so after watching it from the press box and then rewatching it, I felt like the offensive staff didn't think enough, and I felt like the defensive staff way overthought things for that Oklahoma game.
Interesting.
Offensively, to me, it was an arrogant game plan because it almost seemed like, kind of like the LSU game, where, and you guys have heard me say this, and if you've heard me say this too much, go ahead and take a shot right now if you're at happy hour. But the further we get away from the LSU game, it really felt to me like Tom Herman approached that as saying, okay, you know what, let's just use this as a barometer. And that's why you've heard him say things like, hey, that game's going to benefit us, win or lose. Just kind of see where you're at. You know, just kind of use your base concepts, things you think you're good at, go out and execute, and just kind of see where you are. Where do you stack up athlete for athlete from a physicality standpoint with a team like LSU? And we saw Texas offensively was right there. The thing is, though, when you get in going into game six, now defenses have game film on you. They know what your base concepts are. They know how to defend those. And you better have some counters off of them. And this is a game where, shoot, guys, last week with you and then Chad, when we were down there, you know, outside the Cotton Bowl for pregame, we kept talking about what's the counterpunch going to be? What's going to be the wrinkle we haven't seen yet? We never saw it. It's like they took the same approach and just said, you know what? We're going to do what we do. We're not going to worry about Oklahoma. And if we execute, it's going to be fine. Well, no, it wasn't fine. And there never really was an adjustment to that. And it's not like that Oklahoma defense threw them anything that we hadn't seen Oklahoma do, you know, in the first five games. So I just thought, you know, arrogant was the word I used. You can use whatever terminology you want. I just didn't think it was that inventive. And it's not. Look, this is still a really good offensive football team. And the offense, well, I'm sure we'll talk about the defense in a second, it's going to have to carry this team. But you're going to have to come up with something better because, you know, you can look at different metrics. One that I really like looking at is SP Plus because I just think it takes out a lot of the junk and just looks at, okay, who's really good. You realize the rest of the way with the six remaining games, Texas is going to face five top 45 SP Plus defenses, and four of those are in the top 35 in the country with Iowa State, Baylor, TCU, and Kansas State. So you're going to be facing, and you know, you're throwing Gary Patterson and, you know, John Heacock at Iowa State, and Matt Rule knows Tom Herman pretty well considering how much they saw each other in the American. So you take all that into consideration, this offense has to evolve. As good as it's been really good. It's got to evolve if this team wants to get to Arlington for the Big 12 championship game.
Jeff, with the offensive line and the issues they had, 9 sacks, gave up 18 tackles for loss, and that's not all on the offensive line. You can definitely say some of that was the play calling. How much of that do you think is just the talent maybe being exposed or realized to what it actually is, and how much of that was schematically they didn't help them out?
I'll tell you what, anytime, Kevin, where I've got to look back at 9 sack games and I've got to think of two names, I've got to think of Ndamukong Suh and Russell Maryland, things have gone horribly, horribly wrong in some way, shape, or form for you. when you start breaking down the metrics, and, you know, you can look at a couple of different, but one thing I look at is, you know, what are you doing on standard downs? Like, and then just that's really basically your 50-50 downs, your own schedule, which should open up the playbook. On standard downs, Texas gave up six sacks. Just on standard downs. So it's not like those were surefire passing situations. So honestly, Kevin, I saw kind of all of the above. I did see times where guys just straight up lost one-on-one battles. There were times where they didn't handle stunts well. They didn't handle movement well. And it's really kind of a simple, you know, Alex Grinch didn't do anything all that complicated. It's really simple when you look at what they did. Oklahoma went into this game, it's almost like they said, look, if this Texas offensive line gets their hands on us, it's going to be a really long day. But how do you counter that? Well, you can't hit the target if the target's constantly moving. So you saw them moving pre-snap. They were slanting. They were doing their stunts, a lot of different stuff. And Texas didn't handle it well. You know, the other thing to that is there's really two ways you can deal with pressure. One is you can max protect and keep in a tight end and a back to do that to help. Or something you saw LSU do in the Texas game, and it's kind of one of those staples of that Joe Moorhead offense, you just put more guys out in the pass patterns and put some safety valves in there and let the quarterback get the ball out of his hands quicker. I didn't see Texas do a whole lot of either of those. Definitely didn't hardly see them do any of the latter. So I think it was all of the above, Kevin. I think it was schematically what Oklahoma was doing, guys losing one-on-one battles, and I don't think Texas really helped themselves. But was it the talent getting exposed? I don't want to say it's the talent getting exposed, but I think they figured out, again, you know, what's this offensive line really good at doing? That they're really good at run blocking. And even if you look at some of the metrics in this game, Texas wasn't terrible when they tried to run the football. But again, they just said, hey, what's the best way to deal with it? Give them movement, see if they can handle it. And they didn't handle it. And that was stuff. And I know, you know, rewatching the game, Joe Klatt talked about it. Well, LSU did that. West Virginia did a lot of that the week before. You know, Texas made some adjustments and handled it. They just never made any adjustments and never really handled it well on Saturday.
Talking with Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7 at Jeff Howe 247 on Twitter. Jeff, before we switch to defense, last night in the Longhorn Blitz podcast, you talked about the 11 personnel for Texas, which Tom Herman likes to run a lot of, but you think he may need to get away from it a little bit? Tell us why.
Yeah, I just think, well, I think for two reasons. I think one, it can open up the, I know you like 11 personnel because if you've got the right guy tight end, you can do some different things and you can, you know, make sure you've got a numbers advantage in the box when you want to run football. I think, you know, to maybe spread some things out and help your offensive line where teams can't just chunk it up in the middle, run some 10 personnel that also gets Jake Smith on the field, and then you're going to have to be more explosive. You're going to have to be more dynamic. And you saw, you know, I know people look at the drop Jake Smith had, but there was a third down ball Colin Johnson caught where Jake Smith lined up as the number two receiver on his side. And you see Jake Smith kind of run a little post route. He pulls two defenders away, and it's a wide-open catch for Colin Johnson into the boundary. I know that's like one specific example, but when you've got a guy who's a threat like that that the defense knows they have to account for, it can completely change what you're doing. Not to say they need to get completely away from 11 personnel because, well, number one, Tom Herman's just not going to do that, so it's not worth having that argument. But number two, you know, they clearly like Cade Brewer for a reason. I just think they need to do more 10 personnel. And, you know, the running back conversation, once you get Jordan Williamson back, which hopefully will be next week, I've heard TCU has kind of been the game where they targeted as he'll be back. You get Jordan Williamson back, if you like Roshan Johnson and Keontae Ingram enough to where, you know, you would maybe consider them both starters, start using some 20 personnel because Keontae Ingram's shown in his career that he can be a decent blocker set in the edge, at least, you know, passable enough to allow you to do some different things. So I just think, you know, it being in 11 personnel, you know, 90-95% of the time, heck, you're seeing at the NFL, Sean McVay's even getting some tendencies figured out and teams are starting to do that. So I just think just do some different personnel groupings and mix it up a little bit just to give yourself a chance and make yourself a little less predictable.
Jeff, safe to say a lot of us, and I'm going to ask you right now, you were pretty high on Todd Orlando, especially after the first year here, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so, and I was too. I mean, I think all of us, I don't know why you wouldn't be after what he'd done at Houston and really his whole career and then at UT. Let's say that was an 8 or a 9 or maybe even a 10 in terms of your confidence level out of 10. The last couple of years, where has that gone, and how does he fix the whole kryptonite of people getting to the edge on this defense?
Confidence level right now probably about a 5. You know, look, when you look at this defense, you can look at one positive, which they are playing really well in the red zone right now. And even in conference play, they've been pretty good on third down and pretty good on fourth down. Actually, really good fourth down defense. But you take that out of the equation, and then you factor in, yes, they have had injuries, and the Caden Stearns injury is probably the most significant, and had he been 100% healthy at the start of the year, maybe things might have been different. I don't know, but something about ifs and buts and candy and nuts and whatever. I know I'm putting the analogy, so I'll just skip it. But here's my thing, Kevin. You take all that into consideration, but you can still make your issues worse if you're just unsound and you have bad game plans. And to me, against Oklahoma, when you talk about way overthinking it, and you heard Tom Herman talk about it on Monday. He said, you know, they wanted to play man, and they were worried about the pop pass and worried about double moves and this, that, and the other. Well, how about you worry about vacating the middle of the field for a quarterback that you know if he comes off his first read, he's going to tuck it and run, and you're going to basically get you know, concede 12 to 15 yards of free real estate for him. I would focus on that more. And then you hear guys talk yesterday, and the players talk yesterday, Brandon Jones talked about, you know, they didn't have a specific game plan to deal with CeeDee Lamb, which is completely counterproductive to what they did in the Oklahoma State game, where they went into that game saying, Tylan Wallace is not going to beat us, period, point blank, end of story. We're going to roll coverage in the southern field. And it worked. So I think it's more frustration than lack of confidence, Kevin, because I've seen Kyle Orlando have good game plans in big games. You've seen him take his personnel and adapt to it and move things around and do different things. I just think he way overthought it, and this goes back to the LSU game. When you're unable to make teams one-dimensional, or if a team is just kicking your tail so much in that one dimension like LSU did that they don't care to run the football anymore, his game plan just sometimes – it just kind of gets blown up, and then it comes down to adjustments, and some of that stuff can be hard to do. One thing I think is just at the rudimentary level to combat some of the deal things they're dealing with, I don't like how kind of tight that their shades are up front. I would like to see those guys spread out a little bit more. And move around. I know they do some slanting, but I just haven't seen as much of that in his time at Texas as you did at U of H. I just thought they slanted a lot more and were a lot more active. And look, I know year one when you've got Puna Ford, a legit nose guard who can two gap and can occupy two and three guys at a time, yeah, it's going to make everything around you a lot better. And I think we all see signs from Keandre Coburn that down the road he can probably be that type of guy for you, but he's just not there yet on a consistent basis. So I think changing some things up. Honestly, Kevin, right now, I know the thought of Joseph Osai as an edge rusher is really exciting, but I think he's too valuable to this defense. I think you've got to put him in the middle of the field. As instinctive as he is, I would put him in the middle of the field, because one thing that the Oklahoma game really showed, you can have Deli Adeoye on the field, or you can have Juwan Mitchell on the field. But in this league, really good play callers will expose the fact that you've got two traditional middle linebackers on the field in the game at the same time. You just can't do that for as long a stretches as they are. You know, injuries are compounding some of their issues in safety. But honestly, when you look at the Oklahoma game, guys, one of the questions we had was, how are these corners going to do? How are these corners going to do? All things considered, I thought the corners weren't that bad. I thought Anthony Cook played one of his better games, and Deshaun Jameson wasn't terrible. So there are things he can do to kind of treat the symptoms, so to say, but the problems this defense is dealing with, you're so deep into the season right now, and some of these are so deep-seated that I don't think you're going to deal with them in the next 6 weeks. It's going to take an offseason to deal with, but kind of bigger picture on that, Kevin. You know, you hear Tom Herman on Monday talk about, well, you know, we've had to scale back the hitting. We have to scale back. Well, that to me is a bigger issue, and I don't think it's a culture issue or anything like that. I just think the times where this program's kind of gotten off track in this rebuild, it's when Tom Herman's gotten away from who he is. Who he is, he wants to be a guy. They tackle at practice, they hit, they're physical, and that's the mentality they take with them on the Saturdays. Once you lose that, that's when you start to lose your identity on game day. So I just think if you go back to that, and even going back to last year, And that's what they decided to do, you know, coming off that streak where it was like Oklahoma and West Virginia, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, where the defense wasn't good. You know, Todd Orlando decided, hey, we're going to be physical in practice. We're going to go back to tackle them to the ground. We're going to make the most out of Tuesday. And you saw a different defense, even in the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma. They held Oklahoma to their worst rushing performance of the season. Granted, a lot of teams would take 129 yards, but for Oklahoma, that's your worst. But that's just kind of the way it goes in this league dealing with these offenses. So I know that's a really long answer to the question, but I say all that to say there's stuff that's not going to get fixed in the next 6 weeks, but there are little things that can be done to, number one, get better, and number two, just give this defense something that they can be confident in. To me, that's the big deal. Just find the two or three things that this defense can do well, maybe one or two coverages that these guys feel confident running, and just go do that to at least give these guys something they can feel good about.
That's a good answer.
Jeff, before we let you go, what do you think we're going to see this week? Bounce back. It's an evening kick with Kansas, a team that obviously isn't getting a lot of attention from the fans because they're Kansas and all that. And you mentioned five of the next six have a certain kind of defense. We know Kansas is that other team. What do you think we see Saturday night?
Yeah, if you're the offense, whatever tweaks we're going to see the rest of the way to kind of establish the second half, you've got to see them on Saturday because, like I said, you can't just try to roll out something, you know, that you haven't practiced, you haven't worked on, you don't feel good about against Gary Patterson or John Heacock because they're going to have really good plans to defend you. So whatever you're going to see offensively the rest of the way, it's got to start on Saturday. Defensively, it's going to be really interesting because you look at Kansas and Brent Dierman, their new offensive coordinator, he's coming from Bethel University at the NAIA level where, you know, they averaged, I think, 55.5 a game. Last year they had 92 in one game, 80 in another. So good luck finding Bethel University film to figure out what that looks like. And I don't know, you know, just kind of Kevin Flaherty actually at 24/7 Sports did a really good article detailing this. I don't know if he's got the personnel at Kansas to do all this, but at Bethel they were 21 personnel, they were 20 personnel, they'd be empty. So a lot of different personnel groupings. Brent Dierman is the guy that actually authored a book on the evolution of the RPO, so it's going to be an RPO-based offense. And then when you're talking about a defense that's not tackling well, if you can get a guy like Puka Williams in space, yeah, it can be a long day if you're not on top of stuff. So I just think, again, the offense is going to have to carry this thing. I know Tom Herman wants to play complimentary football, but to me, it's about can the offense kind of evolve and take another step, take the step they're going to need to. Defensively, can you find a couple of things that you feel good about? And then in the kicking game, can you just not be atrocious in the return game to where you're not completely canceling out the good stuff Cameron Dicker and Bushevsky are doing? Because regardless of how good those guys have been, the return game is completely wiping away whatever field position advantage you otherwise have.
All right, whether it's defensive end, B-backer, rover, is Texas recruiting a serious edge rusher or someone who can get off the edge and get after the quarterback after two games of no sacks?
Yeah, you know, in theory, Kevin, like Osai is one of those guys, but I just think right now he's too valuable to me to just put him on the edge. You've got to move him around and do different things with him and figure out based on what the offense is doing and how you want to attack them where the best place to put him is. You know, I know they think Byron Vaughn can be one of those guys. Actually, you know, one of their best, and we'll probably see him with Malcolm Roach out for the first half due to the targeting penalty. Marcus Bimage is still probably their best pass rusher on the entire team. So I think we'll probably see him a little bit. But, you know, are they recruiting one of those guys? I'll tell you what, not just edge rusher, Kevin, but I think linebacker, period. I think you're starting to see those guys are really, really hard to find just in terms of, you know, going out and finding a guy like Malik Jefferson that you could say, okay, he's pretty much ready to go right out of the box, or a guy like Gary Johnson who, you know, again, good luck trying to find, you know, 220-pound linebackers that run 10-6 and can go to the combine and run 4-4-3. You're having to either take running high school running backs and convert them, or like Kenneth Murray was at Fort Bend Elkins, take a guy who's a big safety and bulk him up and spin him down. So I think we're starting to see, you know, just how difficult it is to recruit the right type of guys at that linebacker position that can thrive and play well in a league like this where there's so much space and pace going on.
I'm all for Joseph being all over the field, just not in the flats or guarding receivers 20 yards down the field.
That is fair. Jeff,
Kevin, you mentioned guarding guys 20 yards down the field. This reminds me of I can't remember what game it was, but there was a game where, you know, Manny Diaz had Alex Okafor doing the same thing. And I came on our podcast after the game. I said, I don't care what kind of, you know, I'm a novice. You know, these guys have forgotten more ball than I know. If you have a call that requires Alex Okafor to go 15 yards down the
seam,
get rid of it, trash it. It's an awful call.
Bad call.
That is a bad idea. Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7. That's a great idea. At Jeff Howe 247 if you want to follow on Twitter. Jeff, we always appreciate it, man. Have a good week.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
And we will talk to Jeff on the pregame as we normally do. That's 2 hours out from kickoff, so that'll be right about 4 o'clock. We'll get the very latest from him on Saturday right there on Bevo Boulevard. Come on out and see us. Pregame gets going at 2 o'clock.